This is Adam from Hampton, Virginia, and this Ivy Indy podcast is brought to you by Patreon supporters like me. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. On this episode, we're going to talk about the Cubs series with the Reds. We also have the usual segments, a few scary stats of the week, internet muscle flexes, and more. And we will also give away a box of Rizzo's cereal at the end of this episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast. We're live broadcasting on Blab tonight.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
We will get into all of the specifics of this series, but before we do, this episode is brought to you by SeatGeek. If you're frustrated with buying tickets online, tired of the complicated websites and the hidden fees that they try to sneak in at the end, then you need to try SeatGeek. They make it easier than ever to buy or sell sports and concert tickets, so Cubs tickets, that's what I mean by that. I've identified some games that I might go to this year, and I've already gone into SeatGeek and flagged those games so I can check the prices and purchase when I'm ready. They pull all the tickets from other sites into one spot, saves you time. You don't have to hop around to the other sites and services. They show you what tickets are especially good deals, and like I mentioned, you can follow the prices and get alerts sent to you when the prices drop. The most important thing, though, is SeatGeek is always honest about the price. The price you see when you're shopping is what you're charged, no hidden fees. And the best part of them helping support the show is that you get a $20 rebate with your first purchase. So here's how to get $20. Download the free SeatGeek app, tap on settings, and then tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY, all capital letters, IVY, and find the game that you want to go to, purchase your tickets, and SeatGeek will send you $20. Everybody wins. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So the Cubs won the series with the Reds 3-1. Of course, there was Thursday's game, Jake Arrieta's second career no-hitter. We recorded the last episode after that game, and I think we were kind of stunned at the time that we recorded. And I don't want to speak for you guys, but I didn't really know what to say about Jake Arrieta's performance, moments afterwards. I felt a little bit more stunned than I did after his first one, and we recorded right after that. But with a few days to digest everything, is there anything that you guys wanted to say about that game or about Jake Arrieta's performance?
Still in awe of this man. I mean, it just seems like he's not, not done with no-hitting people this season. I can't wait till he does it at Wrigley.
Yeah, that will be cool when it happens at Wrigley. If it happens.
I don't have a ton to add. I mean, it was kind of even more impressive because you could see early he didn't have his best stuff, and he said so in the post game. And sort of see him kind of work through it and then even be more dominant as the game went on, it was just amazing. And then to see all the hate that comes at him before, after, regardless of what he does, there's going to be haters, and that
sure.
Just to kind of see him go out and just keep doing his job and shutting people up. I mean, it's just, I think in hindsight, we'll look back in, 10 years and think about how incredible this run was, however long it lasts. So,
yeah,
enjoy it while you're in it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah.
That's a huge crappy topic about how people are unwilling to accept greatness, or they think it always has to come with an asterisk or something like that,
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference between saying he must be, using PEDs or something like that. And then also, I mean, there's a difference between that and the people that are like, okay, he's been really good for a fairly short period of time. Let's see what he is in the long run. I think you're hearing a lot of non-Cubs fans say that. And I can understand that because that's what I would be saying if this was a Cardinals pitcher. I would say, okay, he's looked really good, but let's see, can he sustain this for the next 3 to 5 years? So, I mean, then there's the accusing him of PEDs. And I don't know. I guess you're just going to get that no matter what. I mean, you can get that pretty much with any player.
I saw today on somebody posted this tweet that Arrieta tweeted in 2013,
yeah,
responding to a fan that said, "Have you guys seen this?"
Yeah, it's kind of been around.
What's that?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, it was kind of like spread around a little bit here in the last few days, but go ahead and explain it for anybody that hasn't seen it.
Yeah. So anyway, this fan tweeted him that perhaps he would be better as a long reliever instead of a starter. And this was in 2013. And his response to that fan was, "I will be a top line starter." I think that's how he put it. Just wait. Something along those lines.
Or did he say dominant? Something
dominant starter. That's what he said. "I will be a dominant starter. Just wait." And it turned out to be very prophetic.
Right. Yeah. And you know, Kurt, you mentioned the fact that early on it appeared that he did not have his stuff. And I think that, I mean, obviously I've never been a major league pitcher, so I can't say this with total confidence, but I think major that
coach though.
Right. That's true. But, but I think that you can, I think that, sorry, you got me totally mentioning. That's a reference that a lot of people probably aren't going to get. But yes, I coached Pee Wee baseball last year, and one of the kids told me that his mom told him that I had been a coach for the Cubs. anyway, oh yeah, what I was going to say was that I think that a lot of the credit, and Jake has done this, given a lot of the credit to Ross, and I think that is, it kind of shows that when a pitcher doesn't necessarily have his stuff, if the catcher is really working with him well and understands what's going on and is able to make adjustments and stuff, like the two, really a good catcher can turn, a pitching performance like, you know, can turn something into a pitching performance like that. And I think that Arrieta was quick to give Ross a lot of the credit for that and saying like that basically he didn't have his stuff, and based on, you know, what, four walks, I guess maybe you could, you know, make that case. I thought he still looked really freaking good, but I just think that that it's cool that Ross gets that opportunity at the end of his career, and to have it be a performance where you really can credit him. It's not just like he was part of the team, but when you have coaches and the pitcher himself saying, yeah, he's a big reason for it, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point too. Like, it's just not some guy in his last season who we're dragging along. Like, his receiving in that game was impressive to watch if you really paid attention to how he was, you know, receiving the ball. It was pretty amazing. Like, he's really good at it, and this year he's been good offensively, so
yeah,
nothing to complain about on that side. And I also wanted to point out too, I think what's amazing about Arrieta is the fact that like everybody since he's been in Baltimore has talked about how good his stuff is and like how nasty he is, and now he's learned how to pitch. And I know that's sort of baseball cliche, right, but like, you get a guy with this good of stuff and then he sort of learns how to pitch, you know, like Maddux knew how to pitch. And I'm not gonna try to draw comparisons between Arrieta and Maddux, but I'm just saying like that ability to pitch when you don't have your best stuff, and that's kind of what we saw. And so it was like a different type of dominant performance. And I kind of watched some of the highlights after, and he's just so good.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of where we were at on Thursday. Like, yep, he's good. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but before the season, Bosio apparently had said that he thought the Cubs would have 3 no hitters this year. So
3 this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that's what I read. So we're a third of the way there and lots of season left. So let's hope that would be pretty amazing. So looking at the last three games of this series, let's start off with the offense. I'll get us started here. What finally kind of stood out to me in this series, but it's been there all season long, I think I just hadn't really noticed, or I noticed but hadn't let it sink in, is this team's ability to really score runs in bunches and to do it very quickly. And Friday night's game, the Cubs jumped on the Reds in the ninth and just buried them. The score was 4-1 to start the ninth, And I don't think there was much of a chance of the Reds coming back, but the Cubs put up four runs super quick and just put them away. Baez homered his first of the year. Russell and Ross were both out. So the bases were empty with two outs, and then all hell broke loose. LaStella singled, Fowler doubled, Hayward doubled, Bryant doubled, and it just happened so fast. And that's not the first time we've seen them really score in bunches like that. And it's not the first time that we've seen them do it at the end of a game too, just put teams away. And I was looking, and in the first 18 games, so not including today's game, well, actually you could include it because they didn't score in the seventh, ninth. So looking in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, the Cubs have scored 48 runs this season. 48 runs in those three innings. And this really kind of be a scary stat of the week. So 48 runs in 18 games, they average 2.66 runs in the seventh through ninth innings. And those 48 runs, that's just five less than the Angels have scored all season long in all innings.
Oh, man, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So,
they've been just incredible. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, scoring runs in bunches, I think that really makes these games fun. And it gives you the confidence that they're never out of games. Even when the game is in hand, the Cubs are winning, you still want to stick around because there's more fun stuff about to happen. And they just have no mercy on teams. I think, especially when you look at like that Thursday night game where the Cubs scored 16 runs, and I'm a big college football fan, and I know like I kind of looked out on teams that kind of unnecessarily run the score up on opposing teams. But I think this is different because, these baseball, they're individuals, and you don't like necessarily want to go out and not do what you should be doing. I think the Cubs actually kind of like held up a little bit. They like held a runner on third when they probably could have sent him. So they did things like that. But I mean, you have to kind of run up the score on a team like the Reds. I mean, it's unfortunate, yeah, I guess, for their fans. But I mean, you can't just become an automatic out just to have mercy on the team. But this team does. They have no mercy. And it's almost like this like blood in the water mentality. And when stringing multiple hits together like that and having these big innings. And I was thinking that should be the motto for the 2016 season, blood in the water, because they're just like it's like a swarm of sharks or whatever, school of sharks, whatever, however they travel in packs. But
and that's what kept me, that's what kept me paying attention to Saturday's game where, the Reds had a 7-run sixth inning. I still watched that game until the end because I was like, hey, I mean, this team could come back.
Yeah.
I in years past, I would have turned it off, but
yeah,
perhaps, I don't know, but this team feels like they can come back. They can score runs at any time. Mm-hmm. It's just a dynamic and, explosive team.
Yeah,
and they sort of make all three outs matter. They score with two outs. I mean, like a lot of times in the past, like you get to two outs and you're like, oh well, they might get one or two out of this, but they just keep pouring it on even with two outs, and that's been kind of neat to see too.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about how there's just no easy outs in this lineup, really. I mean, unless you have. Well, Ross hasn't even been an easy out this year. Well, neither of the pitchers. Like, there is no easy out. But, the ridiculousness of this lineup is really evident when they start stringing hits together like that. It's not necessarily the power that is most impressive to me. It's their ability to string hits together like they did in the ninth there on Friday night. And to have it, to have extra base hits. I don't know. It's just it's made these games so much fun to watch.
Yeah,
but they're scoring so many runs. So I talked to Bob from Moline today, and he said that the Cubs are so good it's almost boring, which I could kind of see that. But
I've had those moments today. Even I was like, I went to the bathroom for like a minute, and that was when I can't even tell you what home run it was, and I come back, I'm like, they scored and I missed it. I just went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like getting crazy. At least we don't have to worry about the whole, like, when they score like 10 or more runs and they're like, save some for tomorrow. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
I know, because I've kind of like,
they'll score another more tomorrow. Crunch all you want, they'll make more.
Well, yeah, because I kind of felt that, like, you know, I mean, I admit, like, that's a really stupid fan thing to think. But after they scored 16, I was like, really? We had a no-hitter. Like, man, I wish they could have, you know, they're probably going to go out and lay a goose egg on Friday. But no, they came out and scored, what, 8 runs or something. So it's like, yeah. These guys just, they can score almost any time. I mean, it's impressive.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about Rizzo because he seems to be climbing out of his funk. I mean, the guy has 8 home runs through 19 games, and many people noted today on Twitter he's the first to do that through 19 games since Billy Williams did it in 1970. And last season, he only hit 2 home runs in April. So he has 8 so far this season. I mean, granted, I feel like without looking at it, I know they've probably played in a lot more warm weather situations this season than they did last year in April. But still, I mean, he is coming out blazing as far as his power is concerned. And so he's tied for the most home runs in the major leagues with Bryce Harper and Trevor Story. And he only has 14 hits. But 8 of those are homers. So he only has 6 hits that aren't home runs,
man,
so far. So I expect the hits to come. Mm-hmm. The batting average has already climbed above the 200 mark. He's still getting on base via the walk. I mean, he has a 16% walk rate, which is really, really good. And so he's already doing a lot to help his team win. And I think that there's more to come.
Yeah.
But I think that's the great thing about this lineup. You know, a few years ago, you needed Rizzo to have a high batting average, hit 30-some home runs and 100 RBIs. And you needed all that. Well, now you can afford a 200. Well, we're not hoping for a 200 batting average. But at this point in the season, you can afford to have a 200 batting average, hit a handful of home runs, and like still have a huge offensive contribution.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Without hitting 300, which people seem to be obsessed with.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I also wanted to say that the Cubs won today without Zobrist and Fowler in the lineup. And, you know, it's taking Fowler out of the lineup, who has the best WAR in baseball so far, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And they still won handily. Without those two guys in the lineup. And so even the backups, like the depth of the team is good. The backups are good. The team is solid. So I'm pretty excited about the fact that they're going to be able to afford to give the frontline guys breathers and still have a great expectation of winning a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like today they threw LaStella in there and he had a great offensive day.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's one guy that's really stood out to me this year, and you know, he's playing that platoon role, not getting real consistent at bats, but when Madden needs him, he comes through. He's got before today, he had 17 at bats, and so today, what he went 4 for 5 with, or 3 for 5 with 2 doubles and a home run. Which is funny because I started looking at his stats right before the game started and I was kind of taking my time looking at stuff. And by the time I had like kind of finished, you know, just kind of goofing around, he had 2 doubles and I was like, I'm just going to keep looking at this dude's numbers and see what can happen. let's see. So he has, I'm not sure if all these stats are up to date, but, let me look real quick. Sorry. Yeah, they are up to date. So, yeah. So right now he has 22 at bats and no strikeouts. Only 1 walk, right? Did he get one today? No, only 1 walk. But, you know, I mean.
No strikeouts?
Yeah, no strikeouts. 22 at bats, no strikeouts. And it's guys like LaStella and Baez that had, you know, it's such quality depth. And then they can also come in, you know, not in addition to giving like, you know, the regulars a day off, they can come in late into games and can really get things going. And, you know, if LaStella can come in and play, you know, every 3 days or so and perform like he has been, that's really big for this team, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the starting lineup stacked and the bench is stacked too. I mean, it's kind of amazing. You know, you got LaStella, Baez, Caesar available, you know, for pinch hits, like, you know, pick your poison. It's they're stacked in that regard too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mentioned Baez. I think his defense is going to become a really big story this season. He has been, I think he's been so impressive in the field, and you kind of like, he's one of those guys that I think his bat has kind of overshadowed, his glove. And I think in good ways and bad ways, you know, what he can, you know, his bat speed and what he can do with the bat has overshadowed it, but so have the bad things like the strikeouts, you know, that's kind of taken away from what he brings to a team defensively. But when you have a middle infield of Russell and Baez, that they are so impressive. They're so fast. They're smooth. And I swear Baez has to have the fastest tag in baseball.
Yeah. And man, the dude is just daring on defense. I mean, he tried to throw out the lead runner in the game where he started at third base. I can't remember which game it was. And that was initiated a triple play attempt. And so the commentators were saying, yeah, he probably should have thrown to first there and just got the sure out, but he tried to initiate this triple play attempt, which they almost turned.
Yeah. Yeah. He has such a strong arm. It was close. And
it was just for his quick hands, his like quick glove, quick hand, quick release to throw to second that made that even possible for it to be that close. But that was a pretty brazen thing for him to do, to try to get the lead runner there instead of taking the sure out at first. And then also worth noting is he has now played all four infield positions with today's switch to first base. Yeah. So dude is turning into a utility man.
Right. Yeah. Which is really cool to see and to see him accept that assignment. Cause I think that's tough for a big name prospect to come in and just kind of be the utility guy. But I think he understands that's how he's going to get his at bats. And that's where his value lies with this team right now. But I do want to go back to that game at third base. He was playing at third base and his instincts are just so impressive. Like there was a ground ball that was down the line and it kind of skipped off third base. And I mean, he just like, you know, grabbed it without even, I mean, it was one of those things where he just made it look so easy, but the ball took a completely different trajectory or whatever, you know, skipping off the base and he just grabs it. Like his instincts just seem so in tune. And he's just, I don't know. I've said over and over, like I'm a huge fan of Baez and I really,
and just maybe one of the best athletes on the team.
Yeah.
Just in general. I mean, there's some great athletes on this team. I mean, if you include Addison Russell, Jason Hayward, I mean, there's some really athletic players.
Yeah, I think when you look at infields, I mean, yeah, if you look at the infielders alone, I mean, I think Russell is probably the most smooth and slick in the field, but Baez is right behind him. And, yeah, it's just, man, what a fun season. I'm having a blast. This is so fun. Anything else offensively you want to talk about?
Not for me.
No, okay. Just hope it keeps up.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to pitching. Well actually before we move away from offense, I was talking through text, to Michael from Galesburg tonight, and he said that he thinks, that the Cubs will score more than 20 runs at some point this season. I think he predicted 24 or 26 in a game. And I was like, yeah, I think I would agree with
that. It's hard to argue with that. Like 20, you know, yeah, I could see that happening.
Which is so crazy. Like I was trying to, you know, we were listening to the game when the Cubs were piling on Friday, and I told Tawny, I was like a normal baseball score is like 4-2, 5-3. And now if they don't put up like 8 or 9 runs, you know, it's like, oh, I wonder what was wrong that day. They only scored 4. That's really bizarre.
Well, yeah, just looking back at the card series, I mean, they kind of got held in check a little bit in that series offense wise. But you know, so if anybody was worried that was going to start a downturn in offense in general, I mean, here they come. And in the Red Series, they scored 38 runs.
So. Yeah. Yeah. That's so crazy. I think I saw this earlier in the two series with the Reds. I think they've outscored them 60-20.
So that run differential scary stats holding up then.
Oh,
I could be off on that. 'Cause I just saw it and I think I retweeted it. I think the Athletic, tweeted that. But the other thing that Michael said, and like it kind of sunk in when he said this, and I guess it's one of those things where I felt it but I hadn't really thought about it. He said that this is the Cubs team that he's been waiting for his whole life, and I was like, yeah, it is. You know, I mean, I don't know, does anybody disagree with that?
No,
it's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah,
I just hope we can all keep our heads about us, you know, through the whole season.
Right.
I'm not going to predict anything more than that, but.
Right. Because they're bound to have their equivalent of the Philly series from last year or whatever. Sure. At some point.
And we can't ignore. I mean,
they haven't lost two in a row. So
right.
It's probably going to happen. Maybe not. Let's hope not.
Well, we also can't ignore the fact that their schedule has been fairly easy so far. They've definitely had some easy matchups so far. And I think things will get tougher. But you know, the Cardinals and the Rockies are about the toughest team, I guess the Diamondbacks too, but they've been able to play some weak teams. And you know, here are the next two series with the Brewers and the Braves, just more bad baseball teams. So let's hope we can pile on them. Yeah.
May looks to be a little bit more challenging as they finally play the Pirates and the Nationals.
Yeah.
They have a series against the Giants, the Dodgers. So there's going to be some more challenging teams coming up.
Right.
People are going to be losing it over that Cubs National series. Even the Pirates. I mean, people are just going to, more so the Nationals, but yeah, that's just going to be like ESPN falling all over themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The National staff so far has looked pretty good.
Yeah. I think it's just important that, to remember that the Cubs are winning the games they're beating the teams they should beat this year, and that's what they've done in April. These are all teams that they should beat, and they're doing that. And you know, they may, building up a cushion is a great thing to do when you're playing teams that aren't so good, so because they may need those games later. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. So moving over to the pitching. I don't think I mentioned this in the last episode. I had it in my notes, but I can't remember saying it. So we kind of raved about Lackey in his start against the Cardinals. He had, what, 7 innings pitched, I think 11 strikeouts, 1 walk maybe. I had in my notes, and I don't remember how many hits he gave. Anyways, Lackey was good. And I had in my notes that I think that we will see some starts like that from Lackey, and then we'll see some starts where things don't look so good, and the other teams will get good contact, and Lackey's going to need the offense to pick him up. And he kind of got that in his first start of the season against Arrieta. Against Arizona. He gave up 6 runs in 6 innings, and then the Cubs offense scored 14 runs. So, I mean, I think in this Red Series, Lackey kind of had one of those games, and I think that's what we're going to see throughout the season. I think we're going to see him look like a number 3. He'll look really good at times, and then he's going to look kind of rough at times.
Yeah, I mean, although he had an incredible track record when at home last season with the Cardinals, and so I expect him to get on a little bit of a groove, you know, at some point, you know, if he gets a stretch of home starts. I don't know. I think he'll be good. I think he'll show a little bit better than what he's showing now. You know, like every other start type of thing.
Right. But Hamill, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Hamill. I mean, the dude so far in the season has lowest ERA among starters for the Cubs, which, of course, Arrieta has one more start than him. But he has a 0.75 ERA. Opposing batters are hitting 193 against him. He has 22 strikeouts and 24 innings pitched. He is doing, I guess, exceeding my expectations.
He's pitching like
I'm sure some other people's expectations too.
He's pitching like first half Jason Hamill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hopefully though, this year, you know, he's got the new training regimen. He's thinned down a little bit. He's got the beard.
Bearded up.
Do you think Theo's
he's probably down to like a 33-36.
right. Do you think Theo's calling?
He kind of looks like he needs a Santa cap on and like elf ears. I don't know about the beard is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't either. It seems
like whatever works. I'm not going to argue with it.
Yeah, if it's working, keep it up.
Yeah. Do you think Theo's got he's getting ready to make a phone call to Billy Bean, like, hey, I got this pitcher that's doing really well. Projections show he's gonna he'll be good all season. This guy named Jason Hamill. You interested?
They wouldn't have prospects good enough. They've traded them all.
Right. Well, and speaking of a former Oakland Athletic, John Lester is looking pretty damn good too.
I mean, his line is not that different other than ERA from Hamill's, and he's, you know, they keep going deep into games. He's pitched 27.1 innings, and his ERA is 1.98, which, let's not forget, that's pretty good in this world of sub one ERAs that we keep talking about. And his opponent batting average is 189, and he struck out 23 and only walked 5. So, you know, we're finally seeing the Lester we hoped we would see when he was signed. He had not the best year last year, but we saw glimpses of it. And it looks like now so far we're seeing it. And, you know, there are times when I, you know, almost like feel bad for Lester that like Arrieta has gotten so good and so dominant that I think it's easy to forget that like that's not normal.
Right.
So what Lester's performing now, he's, you know, he's pitching like an ace. And that's what we, you know, people always say, like, when's Lester going to pitch like an ace? Well, he is right now. He's sort of getting overshadowed by offense and Arrieta, right. And then of course Hamill doing crazy good. And so, you know, but I think that's good for Lester. He's the kind of guy that like he can pitch this well, fly under the radar. He doesn't want all the attention. Let's just keep this thing going.
Yeah. He is pitching like an ace. They just happen to have Uber Ace on the staff.
Yeah.
Uber Ace.
Doble Ace.
I didn't tell you guys, but I got my first updated team gear in a long time in the mail the other day.
Oh, what'd you get?
Can you guess what player I got? It's a jersey.
Oh.
Was it
John with no H?
Yep, it's John with no H, John Lester jersey.
I thought it was, since we were talking about Lester, I assumed it was, but then I was trying to think of like...
That was a terrible question. We're talking about him. Hey, guess what I got in the mail the other day? I got a Lester jersey. I was thinking about current players that I wanted to get some gear of, and I went for Lester. I think it was partly a lefty thing, you know, partly remnants of the Lily affinity. I don't know. I feel like in a weird twisted way, he's become sort of like an underdog type. It like makes no sense. Like the highest paid player, you know, and what an underdog. I just love pulling for him. You know, look at that jersey that guy has, and he has a Lester jersey. That's so 2015.
What would you guys think? Like, would you guys ever purchase a Lackward shirt? Lackey.
I would totally purchase a Lackward.
I meant Lackey. Jersey. A Lackey jersey.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm not there yet. I can't do it.
I'd let him sign my cape, but I would not purchase a Lackey jersey.
Yeah, I don't. It's going to take a while for me to get there. I mean, I really kind of enjoy.
Well,
I don't know.
You don't have that long. His contract's not that long.
That's true, but I don't know. I'm going to hold my thoughts for a couple more starts and see how I feel about him. But I am kind of. I have to admit, like I like him a lot more than I did before. Because because I disliked him so much before, for some reason, I think that's why I'm kind of like pulling for him now. I don't know, in those teeth, man, they're just like mesmerizing. I can't get past them. I'm drawn to his teeth like moths to a flame.
See him a lot.
Yeah. He does get a lot of tooth time on TV. tooth time with John Lackey. Oh man.
I don't think I new blog, like, you know, each team has a player who blocks. This is called tooth time.
And it's like the fake like tool time with Tim Taylor and the logo thing.
He wears a flannel shirt.
Every once in a while John Lester peeks over the fence and talks to him.
Oh yeah, John Lester is his owl. Yeah. Like John Lester's the quiet one that's
oh yeah, gosh. He'd be wearing owl flannel.
Oh man.
We have people probably listening that have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. But. Yeah.
That's all right.
Okay. Well, we do have a couple of questions from a listener here. These came from Jason in New York, and we haven't done many listener questions this season. We haven't really asked for them, but you can send them through email, Corey@ivmv.com, or if you have the free IVMV iOS or Android app, you can tap on contact the show and then call the show. Leave a voicemail with your question. You can also call 309-517-0624. Also, I'd really like to include voicemails at the end of the episodes more often with just, I guess, your general thoughts. You know, if you're watching a game and you have something on your mind, you can call in, leave a voicemail, and we'll throw them on at the end of the show. Or if you hear us say something that you want to agree or disagree with, then call it in. We'd like to include it. We do have one at the end of this show, so stick around for that. So the questions here from Jason, the first one is the Cubs starting pitching has been carrying the team on the mound and at the plate. Which do you think is more sustainable?
Well, I hope it's the pitching.
Right.
So I don't know if you want me to jump in with my scary stat this week because it's relevant, and then we can kind of split them up.
You have one too, sure, right? Sure. Yeah, we have two scary. Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, so I think it's relevant. So regarding the hitting, at least, the Cubs pitching is hitting .214 as a whole with an OBP of .267, which doesn't sound, you know, .214 doesn't sound that stellar, but it is pretty darn good for a entire staff in the National League. Hamill leads the way at .333 with 3 RBI. Arrieta .273 with 2 RBI and a homer. Lester .250, like that's the most shocking. Lester's right. Hitting .250.
Well, it's one base hit, right?
Still, it's a base hit.
That's true. That's true.
Lackey .176 with 2 RBI. So comparing that to the American League and of course the DH, if you put the Cubs in as the DH, they'd be ranked 8th out of 16 in this case because you're adding a National League club. In the AL, so they'd be right in the middle, and they have 8 RBI total, which would be also 8th if there were 16 teams, and that would tie them with the White Sox and the Royals for the DHs. So basically, they're just kind of middle of the pack DHs at this point. So I think that's pretty manageable.
That's crazy. That is okay. So to answer Jason's question, that is not sustainable. In my opinion. But yeah, I think in reality, yeah, I think that, I don't think either are completely sustainable at the level that they're at, but I think that the pitching will remain really good. And I don't think we're going to see the pitching drop off to the level that we will see, their batting averages and run production, drop off.
Well, I think that Jake Arrieta is kind of the new like Travis Wood as far as pitcher hitters. Like yeah. He's a guy that you would pinch hit because yeah. It seems like he puts together pretty good at bats.
Right. Yeah. Although I don't think that if I'm Joe Maddon,
I don't think you risk it.
I don't risk it. I don't send out there where I do risk Travis Wood. And, I mean, I don't like Travis Wood's numbers aren't that, I mean, I'm taking us off topic here. Travis Wood's numbers aren't that bad this year, but I have almost no confidence in him for some reason. Like, I don't know. I just, for some reason,
I have that same feeling. I mean, I'm not as confident as him as I am the starting staff,
but I mean, are you as confident in him as you were like at different points in the last 3 years? I'm not. I don't know why.
I don't know. I just haven't felt like he's given, you know, the evidence. They haven't had any really horrible bullpen outings to make me feel that way yet. So
yeah,
him or anybody else.
Yeah.
Aside from the loss to the Reds, but
well, yeah. I guess that was pretty horrible.
The second question here is, how do you see the catching situation shaking out? Ross caught Hamels' first start after the Schwarber injury, and Montero caught Arrieta's first couple of starts. Since Ross has caught Arrieta and Lester, with Montero handling the rest, it doesn't make a lot of sense to continue for the season. Ross would often catch back-to-back days, with some games even being day games after a night game. Now that he caught the no-hitter, do you see him being locked in with Arrieta or mixing it up, Lester included, now that Ross has caught a no-hitter in his career, basically saying since he's got the one? Also, thinking it may have been a plan for him to catch Arrieta more given the likelihood of a no-no potential. Between this and his 100 home runs, it seems like the team is trying to help cross off the bucket list items for Grandpa Rossi. Any thoughts on that, guys?
I don't know. I think it's probably more, I mean, now that Schwarber's out, not catching Hamill, it's going to be more matchup based outside of Lester, like you said. It's probably more matchup based, but I also don't think you're giving, I mean, at least defensively, you're not giving up a lot, if any, with Ross. I mean, you could probably argue that Ross is a better defensive catcher than Montero. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's matchup based, and it's not really like you're going to lock in each of these guys with certain pitchers.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, matchups with Montero being a left-handed hitter and Ross being a right-handed hitter. But also, I kind of think that like the 2 days off in a row for Montero is probably part of the reasoning. I think that we saw Montero kind of run out of steam towards the end of the season last year. He's a year older. And catching is a difficult position, especially over the course of a season. I think that, you know, that with having three catchers on the roster when they had Schwarber, I think that was part of the plan, was to take a little heat off of Montero. And, you know, I think it makes sense to let Ross catch a little bit more, and he's playing well, and, you know, he's out there playing ligaments be damned. So
that's right. I'm just going to say it. You know, it's the difference of him in his last season. He's going to put it all out there versus...
Right.
Well, and I'm not saying he wouldn't put it all out there before, sure. But, you know, it doesn't matter as much
right.
for him to just, like, put him out there several days in a row.
And I just think if Ross catches Arrieta and Lester, that's really nice to get Montero at least two games off. You know, depending on how the off days sit, it could be as many as 3 days off. And I think that's good for Montero. But back to what you originally said, Kurt, I think it's also, you know, it might come down to matchups.
Well, yeah, that's what these two guys give you, is like it's either rest or matchup. You can kind of go either way. And yeah.
Any thoughts on that, Andy?
No, I mean, I just agree with what you guys said. I think that's going to be the case. We may see patterns develop as, you know, if a particular catcher continues to do well with a particular pitcher, it might become a thing. I could see it becoming a thing, but as of right now, I do think it's more fluid.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody would be too mad about, you know, Ross sort of being Arrieta's catcher for this year if he gave him all that credit for the no-hitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to the scary stat of the week. Kurt, you already gave yours. I have one this week. And my scary stat of the week involves the Cubs Pythagorean record. And if you're not sure what the Pythagorean record is, it's essentially what a team's record should be based on the runs that they've scored and the runs that they've given up, that they've allowed. And the numbers have not been updated after today's game. So before today's win, which only helped things, before the game, they had a 13-5 record. And their Pythagorean record, though, indicated that they should actually have a 15-3 record, which is an 823 winning percentage. So believe it or not, the Cubs have actually been a tad unlucky and should have a better record.
I've kind of thought that.
That's scary. Yeah, that's scary, man.
It is true, though, that like when, you know, in the few losses they've had, it sort of felt like, oh, they probably could have or should have won that outside of maybe the
St. Louis
loss where they put up the 7.
Yeah, the St. Louis loss. And yeah. Yep. So there's my scary stat of the week. And
very nice.
Fellas,
it's time for ass hat of the week.
So, although it's probably been applicable several times over the life of this podcast, for the first time, the ass hat of the week is yours truly, me. And so we rarely get into politics, social issues, anything too serious. But on the last episode, I shared my opinions about the reports of the N-word being used at Bush Stadium directed at Jason Hayward. And in sharing my opinion, I did the exact thing that I was trying to speak out against. So first off, it's clear that the ESPN mics did not pick that up. I mean, that's been established. So I was saying that it's not really fair to say that all Cardinals fans are racists, and I'm not going back into that discussion, but what I did that was dumb was when referring to racists, I used the term the South, implying that the South as a whole is racist, and that's not at all what I meant. But it's what I said. So I can definitely understand why, if you are from the South, that probably rubbed you the wrong way. And I suppose what I meant to refer to is a particular mindset, and using the term, quote unquote, the South is not accurate, and it's not fair to anyone that lives in the South. And so, yeah, I'm the asshat of the week, and I apologize to anyone that I offended. And I think it was fairly ironic that I tried to speak out against something and then did exactly what I was speaking out against. So,
wow. All right.
Yeah.
I forgive you.
Oh, thanks, Andy. Yeah. I appreciate that. You Northerner. But,
you're in good company, because I would say that, you know, honorary asshat or asshat junior would be Tom Brenneman.
Yes.
For his comment.
Yeah, go ahead and get into that.
Already comments.
Yeah, go ahead and explain that. If I'm sure most people know what you're talking about, but just in case.
I'm sure everybody knows, but you know, Brenneman took Cubs fans to task for coming into his beloved Great American Ballpark and starting chants and cheering for their team when the Cubs were up by a healthy margin, and that, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, he was just like, don't cheer for your team.
Right. Enough already.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is the worst. I actually listened to I have a friend that's a Reds podcaster. And so I asked him, you know, what he thought about Brenneman's statements that basically the Cubs, I don't know, I guess that Cubs fans shouldn't cheer their team and chant, go, you know, let's go Cubs when they're doing well. And so actually I'd listened, they posted their episode for the week earlier today, and I listened to it, and they talked about it, and he wanted to be clear that they will almost always oppose Tom Brenneman. And he did not, as Reds fans and podcasters, he did not agree with what Tom Brenneman said. And he basically said that, you know, if you don't want the other team's fans to cheer, then you should do what you can to stop them from cheering. So I think,
right.
And I think, right, you know, and I think maybe if Tom didn't like that, then maybe he should have called out Reds fans for not showing up to their games and everything. But heck, yeah, can you blame a Reds
fan? Have the seats empty.
Right. But yeah, can you blame a Reds fan for really not wanting to go see that product that they have on the field right now? So yeah, I don't know. I don't like Tom, and I really don't like Marty. So pretty much, yeah, Brenneman's are asshats. So, all right, so let's do the internet muscle flexes. Andy, you said you have one.
Yeah, I do.
I have one that it's, I don't know, it's not that great, so I'll go ahead and go first.
Okay.
So also on the last episode, I made the comment that, you know, Cardinals fans are kind of like lashing out and saying some kind of stupid things. And I made the comment that the Cardinals fans are just trying to reassure themselves that they're better humans. And I think we're going to hear a lot of fans of teams like the Reds say things like, oh, you haven't won in 108 years. You know, we're going to hear like some of those same old, you know, just their go-to whatever.
Refrain.
Yeah. I mean, it's just what we're going to hear. So, okay. So here's the, this is the muscle flex from a Cardinals fan. And it says, Cardinals will always be better than the Cubs. They're not taking anything away from us. 11 World Series rings. So, you know, the Cardinals are going to go to the ring sing. So, okay, this isn't a real strong muscle flex, but what made me want to include it in the segment and mention it tonight is the person's name on Twitter. And this person's name is Redheaded Cigar Woman. So, I don't know. Anything, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious. I saw that and I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to the rings. Oh, Redheaded Cigar Woman.
She likes the red. She likes the Cardinal. She likes her red hair.
Yeah.
She likes cigarrillos rojos.
Well, and in her, I'm looking at her user picture right now. She appears to be hugging her hair with a cigar. Here, let me see if I can hold this up to the camera. Can you see?
Yeah.
She's a catch.
What the heck is in her left hand?
Her hair. I think it's her hair.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't get it to focus.
She's about to set it on fire with the cig.
This is compelling. There you go.
This podcasting is, so yeah. Corey's holding his phone up to the camera right now, so people in the blab can see the Twitter user pic.
It looks like she's caressing her hair while holding a big stogie.
It looks like her hair is smoking the cigar. It
does. Oh man. Okay, so go ahead with.
Well, here's my muscle flex. It's not that great either, but. On the Cubs Facebook, one user after the loss to the Reds posted, "Am I the only one who is concerned about this bullpen? It's not looking very good." And then he goes on and on a little bit. And then down the line a little bit, somebody responds, "You're the only one." just short and sweet. That's it. You're the only one.
Oh man, that's awesome.
So it was beautiful in its simplicity and its you know its economy of words.
So Kurt, Blab seems to be flaking out on us. You can't hear Andy, is that right?
No, I can hear you.
Okay.
I cannot see or hear Andy. Right. So it's a one-sided conversation. And I'm not contributing my laughter because I don't
know
what's happening.
It's a good thing that, you know, this happened at the end of the episode. Otherwise, it'd be really awkward if we had to carry on conversations and you have to just guess what Andy was saying. So that does it for this episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have one listener that joined the Patreon campaign this week, Arlet from Aruba. And I saw Arlet's address and I had no idea what country it was. I don't remember what it said, AR maybe or something. And I would have never guessed that we would have someone in Aruba listening to our podcast. And I decided that I think Arlet needs to host us for a live broadcast from Aruba. You know, maybe
when, visiting,
right? Maybe when it's super cold in the Midwest, maybe January. It seems like a good time. So let's work on that, Arlet. I think it needs to happen. So all of our Patreon supporters were eligible to win this box of Rizzo cereal that I'm holding up for the live viewers. And I did the drawing earlier through one of those random name picker websites, and the winner is Joe from Waterloo, Iowa. So, Joe, I will get this box in the mail for you, and I also have some pint glasses and t-shirts to send out, too. I'm working on it. It's on my calendar for tomorrow night, so I'll get those out. If you're in the Quad Cities or the surrounding areas, the South Bend Cubs are coming to Modern Woodman Park this week for a Tuesday through Thursday series. I'll be there Tuesday for sure and probably Thursday. I know, Andy, I think you said you were going on Thursday. And since they're coming to town, I figured that it would be a good time to look at the team. So on Tuesday morning, you will get a bonus episode of the podcast. It's an interview I did with Chris Hagstrom, who works in the front office for the South Bend Cubs. So again, that'll be there for you on Tuesday morning. The Cubs have Monday off this week, and the Brewers come to Chicago for a series. If you're planning on going to any of these games or the weekend series against the Braves, get your parking figured out ahead of time by using ParkWiz. It's super easy, saves you money with parking at the games. Go to ivmv.com, click on the ParkWiz widget on the side of our website, and select your parking spot. I use ParkWiz whenever I need to figure out parking. It's convenient and cheaper, and you can't really beat that. So we will be back Wednesday night with our midweek episode. And until then, go Cubs.
Hey, IVNV listeners. This is Sean from Iowa. Well, as you can tell by my garbled voice. Hey, I stumbled upon a Twitter account called RossASG16, and it's a movement, if you will, to get David Ross elected to the All-Star Game in his final season. I'm doing it, voting five times every day, trying to get people I work with to do it, and I just think it's a really cool thing. David Ross is my spirit animal as a bald, bearded, middle-aged man. So I just think it'd be really cool to get Ross to the All-Star Game. So, you know, what they say in Chicago, vote early and vote often. Yeah, that's all I got. Good show, boys. Thanks. Bye.